Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. The Celtics back in action, taking on the Charlotte Hornets in Greensboro, North Carolina tonight, winning and winning big thanks to a renewed effort from the second unit. The Celtics went on to beat the Hornets tonight, 107-92. Jay King with me. I'm John Corrales. We are the Rain and Jays. Let's get right into it, Jay. First things first, Isaiah Thomas left the game at a point where he would have normally left a preseason game after playing 20 minutes. But I guess the news is that he has some sort of slightly sprained wrist, a left wrist, so it's his shooting hand. But the good news is that after the game, Brad Stevens says he didn't even know that there was any sort of injury, so it can't be that bad.
Yeah, I suspect it's not too bad. You had to start with the bad news, lead with the bad news,
and then
come with the good news later.
Yeah,
I'd be really surprised if that's an issue. That's kind of been a lingering thing for a long time, but if Stevens didn't know about it, then it's no big deal.
Yeah, but that's why it becomes the wrist again. So I don't know what can be made of that, but. Whatever. He did leave the game as the team's leading scorer with 15 points on 5 of 10 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3. So a nice game from Isaiah Thomas. He had 5 assists, which ties with for the team lead. And that first unit out there, struggling a little bit early in the game, not hitting a lot of the shots that they were making against the 76ers. And I guess my first reaction from tonight's game early on was, well, this is the reality check that when you don't play the Sixers, you might not look as good.
Yeah, although, I mean, they looked great in the second half. I would say I didn't think Isaiah Thomas had a great game. Like he hit those three threes. He knocked down shots. He forced some stuff into the paint. He was throwing passes off defenders' feet. He threw one cross-court pass straight into somebody's arms. Like he was – I don't know whether it's because he's having a little – trouble adjusting to having such a great player like Horford in the lineup and two guys in Horford and Johnson who sometimes both occupy closer to the paint, but he didn't to me play a great game. He will play much better, and obviously that's not a big concern moving forward, but I thought that hurt them early. And then second half the starters were just dynamite. Al Horford, that dude, you knew he was going to be this good for the Celtics, and then it still surprises you that he's this good for the Celtics.
Yeah, and you'll hear this, you guys will hear this later on at the end of the show. I was on the Big Jab in Portland, Maine, 96.3 FM, and one of the points I made on that show, I'll remake it here. Al Horford, his impact on this team is going to be greater than what his actual abilities are. Like, he's not just going to be Al Horford adding a great player to this team. He raises the game for everybody else. It's almost like when you put him in the game, if this was an NBA 2K rating, he would increase everybody's ability by 2 or 3 points. Just because of his ability to read what's going on, make the right play, make the right passes. And one thing I really, really love in two games, I know it's just two games, but this is a great thing. He's bringing the ball up the floor. He's grabbing a rebound. And when he sees an opportunity to just rip it and run, then the rest of the team can just get out there. And that really picks up the pace. You don't have to sit there and wait for a guard to come back and get the ball and then go. You just go. So a couple of times in the past couple of games, He's brought the ball all the way up. There are a couple of times today there was a nice play where he took a couple of dribbles and then got it up court to Avery Bradley for a nice finish. So on top of all of the things that he's been doing, he's pushing the tempo and really increasing this pace. I just really love that development.
He's rebounding the hell out of the basketball too. He has some really nice rebounds. And over the past couple of years in Atlanta, his rebounding rate fell off a little bit. So that's good to see from him. There was some talk from people I talked to in Atlanta that maybe that was a scheme thing and that he hadn't actually fallen off as a rebounder. So it's possible he still has that within him. And he's looked good rebounding the first two nights, I thought. I mean, John, the Celtics have a big man who can dunk on Roy Hibbert.
Yes.
That is not something we could have said for the past 3 years. Celtics fans should be rejoicing because their big man can dunk on people. Yeah. On people. Nobody else can dunk. Maybe Brandon Bass probably dunked on a few people, but
no, that inbounds
play. I don't remember Tyler Zeller really dunking on anyone. Yeah, he just crammed on his head. Get the hell out of my way, man.
That was nice.
Get the hell out of my way. I'm Al Mother Bleeping Horford.
I just love a lot of the little things that he can do. On top of that, I've noticed that he's getting really great position. You know, the ball's working its way around the perimeter, and he has the awareness on when to seal off a defender. So if you're listening, you don't know, that's almost like a reverse post-up where the ball's working its way around, and he just gets the right position, and now all of a sudden he's open with a clear shot at the basket. That's happened a couple of times. They don't always hit him on that. Maybe the Celtics just aren't necessarily used to a guy that can do that, or at least a guy with his size that can do that. You know, it's one thing for Sullinger to get good position and you get him the ball and maybe he can't take advantage of that. But when Horford's doing it, he's getting it in positions where he can score because of his height, his size. So he's really good at getting that position. He has been rebounding very well. He's pushing the pace. He's hitting those mid-range jumpers. He hit a three. Did he hit just one three tonight? Yes, one for one from three. So a nice game from Al Horford, who had 13 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. I'm really excited. I think more excited than I would have been, than I realized I would have been coming into the preseason. He's already exceeding expectations. Maybe
he's
getting a little
39 in 37 minutes.
Yeah, maybe we're getting a little too giddy about this. But I like all of the little things. It's not like he's going out there and he's just on fire and he's just out-talenting people. He's doing a lot of little things that you can just see translating to the regular season.
He's just Al Horford, man.
Al Mother Bleeping Horford. And you know what? I think Avery Bradley is a recipient of the Al Horford bump where – maybe it's coincidental, maybe it's not, but again, the caveat of just two preseason games. Avery Bradley's shown a little more polish to his offense. And you tweeted about this, Avery Bradley as a facilitator, he had 5 assists tied with Isaiah Thomas.
After 6 in the debut.
Yeah, he's really finding a little groove early on in the preseason where he's taking good shots. I don't remember him taking one of those patented Avery Bradley long twos. I know early in tonight's game.
I do. It was like with 20 seconds left on the shot clock, I almost puked.
Tonight? Oh, I must have been looking down. Okay, I'm glad I missed that one. But I know earlier in the game, he took a couple of extra dribbles and actually got within about like 10 feet to take a baseline jumper. And I thought, that's great. He's not taking that kind of shot. So, all right, I'm glad I missed that one, but I think overall Bradley has been, and his handle has been a little bit better. He's dribbling a little bit more with a little bit less angst on my part. So I don't know. What do you think, Jay? Is this part of the Al Horford bump, or is Avery Bradley showing a little bit more polish, or a little bit of both?
I think he started to show a little more polish last year and started show more pocket passes, things like that. He's not going to be like a primary playmaker ever. That's just not who Avery Bradley is. But he's shown a little secondary playmaking. He's looked good in that role so far through two preseason games, one against the Sixers and the second one against the Charlotte Hornets. So we'll see. We'll see if it continues. All signs are promising so far. He had one like beautiful over the head pass to Horford for that three. Yeah, my only issue with his game today was that long two I talked about. I don't know why they run dribble handoffs for him when he's like 19 feet away from the hoop. Like, maybe it facilitates player movement and stuff like that, but I just don't like that. Run it 4 feet further away from the basket so that if he gets it, he can hit a three. Not a long two with 19, 18 seconds left of the shot clock, whatever it is. That's one of my pet peeves about the Celtics. No more dribble handoffs for mid-range jumpers, please.
Yeah, and that's right. And he does like to take that dribble handoff and pull right up. So, all right, I'll give you that. So we'll try to relax a little bit about these results. I just don't want to come on every podcast and just be gushing about some of these things. But
that's why I had to come out here and just rant about something.
That's good. I appreciate
we're gushing
that.
About Al Horford. We're pointing out like, oh my God, Avery Bradley's like John Stockton now. I had to bring a little realism to the table.
That's right here in my notes. AB equal Stockton.
I have Jaylen Brown equals MJ. So.
Yes. At least we're not saying Jeff Green.
I heard
you and
again.
Jam put that to rest in the last show. And by the way, I saw your brother tweeting that exact reference. So you got to get some of that family. You got to put your brother in his place. He was tweeting from that Celtics Town account saying that, oh, Jaylen's the next Jeff Green or something like that. Go back and check it out.
Oh man,
a little bad blood.
Slap him around a little bit.
You know what? I think you guys got to settle this on the court. You got to take him to school.
I don't want to do that anymore. I stink, man.
No, it's been nice to see these guys developing, and you know, the starters aside from I think the beginning of tonight's game was a little bit slower, but that second half they came out on fire. So
I want to give a shout out to Amir Johnson too.
Yes,
because after Horford came with the post up on the Celtics first possession of the second half, he tapped away an entry pass, and then he went the other way, tipped out an offensive rebound, and then they just started firing. So I give him credit for some of that. Amir Johnson always doing the little stuff.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to get a lot of that. I think Amir Johnson, when we look at what this team is doing, and now let me backtrack. Amir is playing a role that both of us think he won't be playing necessarily once Kelly Olynyk gets healthy. And I don't know what the sense is if Kelly's going to come in and be able to start right away. We were talking about this after game one. Considering the second unit's struggles, and they didn't struggle as much this game, but does it make sense to bring Olynyk in off the bench? And maybe what you do is you start Johnson, but you pull him after 5 minutes and make Kelly like the first guy off the bench real quick?
I'm starting to think the second unit might need Kelly's offense.
Yeah.
Because the second unit, like the second half, I thought they really took advantage of some mismatches. Like whoever had Marco Bellinelli on him was like, I am about to score the rock right now. And then there were a few times they targeted Frank Kaminsky. So they took advantage of some good matchups, I thought, in the second half. And Terry Rozier shot the ball really well. But I didn't think that group played great offense. Marcus Smart had some nice plays, too. He's looked pretty in control first couple of games. I like how Smart's playing so far. He still can't shoot. He's progressing in other ways, at least. And maybe he can shoot. I'm just overreacting to two preseason games.
Sure, of course. That's what we do. We overreact to things. So, that's going to be an interesting thing because we've spent basically the entire summer talking about how Kelly Olynyk should be the starter. And now I still have questions about it. I'm not fully there on Olynyk coming off the bench yet, because when you put Amir in and you're running that pick and roll, that floor spacing's just not exactly the same. And granted, it wasn't that different from, it's not going to be that different from last year. And Isaiah Thomas got to the rim plenty. It's not going to be horrible, but I think I just convinced myself of this dream of four guys that you have to respect from beyond the arc and all of this room for Isaiah. And now with that wrist thing again, I'm just afraid of him falling too much. I'd like to see him get a little more space. So I've moved from definitely Kelly starting to like 80% Kelly starting. I'm moving a little further away. I can listen to the argument for Kelly coming off of the bench. I get it. And considering how good the starters have looked so far, it could work, but I'm only at 20%, like 10% each game. So,
yeah,
you know, I think after the rest of the preseason moves on, seeing how things progress as teams start to play more serious basketball, then maybe we'll get a better gauge. So, and this might not be something...
One other lineup thing I liked was Steven starting to experiment with Brown and Crowder at the 3 and 4 in the same lineups.
Yes.
And Jaylen Brown, he still is completely raw. Like, he had two travels where he just started running as soon as he got the ball. And he had a couple moves that were like really nice moves, didn't finish them. He had another great coast-to-coast take where he bodied Frank Kaminsky. But I thought he showed some promising signs. He's rebounded well. Today I thought when he guarded Kaminsky, he did a great job. He was pushing him out of the post, not letting him get good position. And if he can guard fours, and obviously Kaminsky isn't the greatest four, but he's a guy who's capable of posting people up. If Brown can guard fours, they cannot guard him. And Brown hit a couple of threes. He does like so many things that are promising, and then just so many things that are very dumb. It's going to be frustrating and really fun to watch Jaylen Brown, depending on which play.
Well, he plays like a 19-year-old kid two preseason games into his NBA career. So
yeah, I think he's going to be a player though. I'm starting to get on the Jaylen Brown bandwagon.
You're
a little
getting
bit.
The fever, the hype train, the Chris Forsberg hype train.
I think I'm starting to hop on the hype train. He just shows flashes of so many different types of things. So, and he's already like, I think he'll be in the rotation from day one. I'd be surprised if he's not at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's going to have an opportunity to play some good minutes. In part,
although who knows once Gerald Green comes back?
That's true. These are things that we have to consider. Yeah. No, it's definitely something we have to consider. And I actually am hoping that Gerald comes back soon so we can start getting a little bit better sense of how things are going to go, because right now the substitution patterns are just the classic Brad Stevens wild experiments, you know, the mad scientist. But it's funny, I tweeted out about the lineup of Thomas, Smart, Brown, Crowder, Horford, and Mark D'Amico just said, in Brad's terminology, two ball handlers, two swings, and a big. And it's just basically positionless basketball, and that allows a lot of switching. You got a lot of defenders there. You can switch a lot. You can do a lot of different things there. I like that. I'm curious to see how Gerald is going to be used, and again how Kelly Olynyk is going to be used. Can you put Olynyk in that lineup? Is Gerald Green in that lineup going to work somehow? I don't know, but I agree, Jaylen. I don't think Jaylen's going to be spending any time in Maine. Sorry, fans in Portland, that you're probably not going to get a lot of Jaylen Brown sightings up there. So, you know, he attacks the rim basically every chance he gets, even if he doesn't know what else he's going to do, he just goes, ah, screw it. I'm going to jump. I'm going to see what I can do.
I thought it was hilarious after one of his travels when Jay Crowder just looked at him and like gave him the calm down man gesture. it was like when your father looks at you like shakes his head like, come on, son, you're better than that. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
I think that he and Terry Rozier as well have a little bit of the nerves going on for different reasons. You know, I think Jalen is out there just kind of maybe trying to prove some things. Maybe he is aware of the boos that came on draft night. And I think Terry Rozier, and it was said in the broadcast tonight, he is so anxious to grab that Evan Turner slot that he may be just pushing too hard. And so when he came out with the second unit, and there's a quote from Brad Stevens about the second unit, and I think kind of is indicative of what I'm talking about. A couple of things. First of all, Brad Stevens said after the game, I thought the guys that came off the bench moved it better and found better shots the second time they came in. So I think for two straight games now, Rozier has done that. He's come out kind of haphazard, and then he's settled into his game. And I think he's maybe, you correct me if I'm wrong, because you were at that first game, if he's coming out nervous and hyped, and then he settles into, I'm just going to play basketball, that settling into his game allows him to play much better. And when he comes out hyped and too emotional, he starts thinking too much, and he's making bad decisions on the floor.
Yeah, I thought Scal made a good point on the TV broadcast, which is he said that Rozier was just early on all of his cuts. He wasn't waiting for the screener to come, and he was just like, going way, way too fast. Just slow down, man. You're fast enough. You're going to get into the paint. If you wait for all your screens, you're going to have more opportunities. And I thought he did a much better job in the second half, but they're going to need him to be consistent this year because, again, we've said it all the time, they need the playmaker when Isaiah Thomas is on the bench, and they need multiple playmakers. But I love his shooting form. I've said this, but like, I just love watching that dude shoot. I didn't go to Charlotte tonight, so I was watching the game with my father at my parents' house. My dad was like, man, I didn't know Terry Rozier had such a beautiful stroke. I need to shoot like that guy. And my dad has the grossest form of all time. He's going to listen to the podcast. Dad, I puke when I watch you shoot.
This has turned into the King family like throwdown.
Yep. Sometimes you gotta let your family members know where they stand.
Yeah. Well, it comes from a good place. It's all love. When you love someone enough to say, you suck, that's special.
Exactly. King family love.
So that, I think, covers most of tonight's game. I am shocked at how many moving screens the Celtics were called for tonight. Jeez,
I hated that.
God.
Jesus, it's preseason basketball. It's boring enough already. The games are long enough already. Just chill out for 1 second. Let the game flow. Hold on to your whistles for the love of God.
Man, and then a lot of travels. The NBA referees are there. There's a point of emphasis on the catch, shuffle your feet, and drive. There are a couple. Jay Crowder got nailed for one. That's something to watch for. They never, ever called that during the regular season. In this preseason, like, if you catch and you have – a lot of guys will just catch and both feet will move and then they'll dribble, and that was never called. Now they're calling it. So that's just going to slow the game down even more when it comes to preseason basketball. And you know how these things go, Jay. Yeah, right.
Yay.
You know how it goes. Preseason point of emphasis, and it always kind of starts to go away
it's
during
like
the regular
2 weeks,
season.
2 weeks, and then it's gone.
Yeah, and then by February, we're going to be seeing vines of guys taking 6 steps before they dribble. Probably LeBron James.
Yep, exactly. And there's going to be like I love that Perkins vine, man. I'll never never stop laughing
just
about
changing
that,
his pivot
that Bergen
feet. Oh my
like 12
god,
times.
That was great.
That might be my favorite YouTube or Vine of all time. I just love that.
It is spectacular. If you don't know what we're talking about, just go to YouTube and search Kendrick Perkins
travel.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Yeah, because he catches the ball and he just moves his. He does. I don't know. I feel like he moves like 3 feet away from where he caught the ball without having put the ball on the floor. It's fantastic. Okay, so let's get to some of the Twitter, because here's what we're going to do after games. I guess we're going to just put out some, if you want to make a comment or something like that, just use the hashtag Rain and Jays on Twitter, and we'll mention it. We'll get through. You got a comment, you got a question, we'll put it out there.
We're going to scan through those. We're going to see those. So send it with the hashtag Rain and Jays. We gotta turn that into a hot hashtag out here. We need your Photoshops. We need your Vines. We need everything.
Yeah. Just slap a Rain and Jays on it, whatever it is, and we'll go through.
Slap a Rain and Jays on it. I like that. That should be like our motto. Slap the Rain and Jays on it.
Slap a Rain and Jays on it. If anybody out there can rap like legitimately, maybe you can do a song, but like not shitty rap. You like be good.
Yeah, like be good. Nas, if you're listening, give us a
I'm
shout.
Sure,
slap
I'm sure
slap
Nas.
A Rain and Jays on it.
Yeah, I'm sure Nas listens. I'm sure, you know,
no doubt.
At the very least, like Puff Daddy or something.
Yeah. Soulja Boy, stay away, man. If you're listening, go listen to some other podcast.
All right. Let's just get to this because it's been. All right. At Greasy Bagel. I love Twitter names. Twitter names are my favorite. At Greasy Bagel. How big is the sensational Swede Jonas Jerebko's role going to be this year? Do you see him starting at some point? No. Look, if Jerebko is starting, shit has gone wrong.
Don't count him out, man. He has started like every playoffs since Brad Stevens got to the Celtics.
That means something
Jonas Jerebko
has gone
started
wrong.
At least one game.
That means something. So, and I love Jerebko. Jerebko's great, but he's going to be what he is. He's a shooter off the bench, you know, a stretch four that's a nice defender that can come in and give you 20 minutes and hit some shots. But that's his role. If he's starting,
don't count out. Never count out playoff starter Jerebko. Never count him out. It happens every year, man.
But every year it happens is because of something that's very bad.
Yeah, but this year they have Horford instead of Sullinger, who got benched come playoff time last year. So, yeah, Jonas Jerebko probably won't start, but I suspect he'll have a regular role from day one. Backup four, boom, easy enough. Unless Jaylen Brown starts to play some minutes at the four, who knows? Then Jerebko might lose some time.
I'm going to scan past your flurry of Rain and Jays tweets that I think you were just taunting Adam Himmelsbach with.
Yeah, he came after me for slapping a Rain and Jays on it.
I love it. Okay, Chris O'Brien, Avery Bradley is a sterling example for the young guards and wings on how to continually improve year in and year out, especially his shot, which we've talked about, but I want to give Chris a shout out with that comment. Max Green, Horford, definitely helping on the boards. Nice to see. That's a nice I give some credence now a little bit to the system kind of pulling Horford away from the boards in Atlanta. I think maybe that might have been overblown coming in. We'll see
because Celtics need that. They need a guy who can control the glass because none of their other big men are plus rebounders. So Al Horford, keep rebounding, big man.
That'll be nice. I'm going to
mention Al mother bleeping Horford.
That's right, baby. At Celtics for Life, Stephen Taylor. Now, I'm going to just read this because you slapped the Rain and Jays on it, so I'm going to give you the shout out. But just for fun, as I grew up with Pokemon, if the Celtics players were a Pokemon, which Pokemon would they each be and why? I don't mother bleeping know.
I don't know anything about Pokemon.
I am not down with the Pokemon. I see people with that Pokemon Go. Maybe this is the old man get off my lawn in me, but sorry, man. But I'll give you the shout out for slapping the Rain and Jays on it, but I don't know a damn thing about Pokemon. Sorry. Also, a shout out to Jovian's Shadow at Jovian's Shadow. Rain and Jays in my ear on my and on my tweet feed, and the ESPN play-by-play of the Celtics Hornets game on the monitor. How we watch in Australia at work. And I want to give a shout out to all the fans in Australia and around
Australian
the world.
Australian Celtics fans are like the best Celtics fans alive.
Seriously, man, that is a commitment. That's really a commitment. You're literally halfway around the world, almost literally halfway around the world. And just the things that the fans in Australia do. And the fans, I know we got Rain and Jays fans everywhere. So I just want to give a shout out to the international listeners. But the fans in Australia, I love you guys so much. I got to take a trip to Australia. I really do. That'd be so much fun. Ah, the beer and the food. That'd be so much fun. Okay, so thanks for that. At Plex Tongue, I can't take Zeller softness this year. Oh.
That one made me laugh.
Oh, Tyler.
Zeller, he ducked away from a rebound that was coming right at his head. Like just put your hands up, man.
He didn't want to get hit in the face.
Just put your hands up, Tyler. He hasn't been particularly impressive, I will say, over the first couple of games. Let's just put it that way.
I'm
not particularly impressive.
I'm going to agree. And look, I don't know. He got the contract, and he'll be back out in the market next year. When everybody's healthy, he will not be playing much. And I don't know. I don't know if we has this situation broken Tyler Zeller. I hope not. I like Zeller.
He was pretty good a couple of years ago, but
he's solid. There's nothing not to like about Zeller, but he's just I don't know. It's just I don't
get that confidence back, bro.
Yeah. And in reply to your Al Mother Bleeping Horford at JD Papa 3, probably the best big in the East, isn't he?
Is he? Yeah.
Is he?
Probably.
Well, I mean, Bosch is out. I'm not gonna put him like Dwight Howard. No.
Dwight Howard's not as good. I'm gonna say.
Screw
yes.
It. I'll say yes. I'm not even gonna think about it too much. Brook Lopez? Nah. I'm not gonna think about it too much.
Jared Sullinger.
Oh yeah,
just kidding, guys.
I hear he's lost 20 pounds. And he's very mobile now.
Yeah, sweet, bro.
I love the dismissiveness. Hey, back to at Jovian's Shadow. Just for one more thing, follow him or at least go to his Twitter because he has this where he rubs his hand together with glee, retweeting at Johnston985. Celtics fans, you have the right to swap picks with this team, and it is a vine of
Jeremy Lin
front rimming a breakaway layup. Rimming and missing a breakaway layup.
Sometimes breakaway layups are tough, man.
Just unbelievable. And yeah, I can do that. I would do that in an NBA game. But Jeremy Lin probably should.
You wouldn't get a breakaway. You would have got that shit tossed into the first row.
I would figure that if I, there might be some possibility of condensation on the floor where somebody tripped or nine guys tripped.
Never.
You never know.
Never. All right, we got to wrap this up, man. We have gone off the rails. Drummond. Our new producer. Producer Jeff just texted me that Andre Drummond is in the East. Possible competition for Horford. Yeah. I still think Horford's better.
Yeah, but I think Horford's Drummond better. He's more versatile. In today's NBA, yeah, Horford's better. Yeah. I'm good with that. All right. That sounds like a good place to wrap this show up. What the hell? Why not? So, the Celtics won. Lots of good things, some bad things. They play again on Saturday afternoon. So we'll be talking about that on Monday's show. Hey, before we go, I want to thank everybody for subscribing. Thanks for listening. wherever it is you get your podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, the TuneIn app, whatever it is. Thank you. If you are a first-time listener, please subscribe. Search Locked On Celtics, Rain and Jays. Will pop up. Subscribe. If you are a subscriber, you have not given us a five-star rating, please. What are you waiting for? This podcast demonstrates for sure that we deserve five stars. So, and enough of you have done it that have gotten us into the top 200 of iTunes podcasts. And considering that there are probably millions of podcasts out there nowadays, to be in the top 200, that's a pretty big mother bleeping deal. So thank you all for the ratings. Really appreciate that.
Locked On Mother Bleeping Celtics podcast, baby.
That's right. That's right. And before we sign off, a little bonus content. As we say goodbye, here is a hit that I did with 96.3 FM, The Big Jab in Portland, Maine. If you are in Portland, Maine, be sure to tune in. I will be on the radio there every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. on The Big Jab with Javier Garrity. And please tune into that or listen on thebigjab.com. Here's the hit. Thanks for listening. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
Welcome back, PM Jam, Javier Garrity, Chris Sedanka rolling on a Wednesday afternoon. Boston Celtics just opened up their preseason schedule as they get ready for the 2016-17 season. To talk about that, from RedsArmy.com, at RedsArmy_John on Twitter. Also, Locked On Celtics podcast. He is John Corrales. How you doing, bud?
I am doing great.
That's good.
I am excited. Basketball is back.
Basketball is back.
That baby. Is awesome, my friend. I knew you'd be pumped. I knew you would be pumped.
I am just giddy. I love it.
Well, and you know, we'll get into some of the specifics in a minute, but generally, I mean, you know, you can hear it in your voice. I think a lot of Celtics fans feel the way you do, and I think it's appropriate here. There is a lot of excitement around this team, and there should be, right? You add Al Horford in the offseason, you build on a year ago, and so many players playing well last season. There is that feeling, right, that the Celtics team is ready to make a step and do something a little special this year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm not going to go crazy and think they're going to win the NBA title or anything like that, but this is going to be an exciting and fun year. Not only do they have a really good team, they've got a style that they can play that's exciting to watch. They're going to be a really, really, really good defensive team. That's going to spark some offense, and I think the guys that we had on this team last year that were good players are going to be really good players this year. You got people making steps forward. So I'm really excited about what this team can do this season.
John, interested to get your take on what you think the Al Horford move means to the rotation.
Oh, well, I mean, Al Horford, it's kind of funny. He changes a lot. I think he impacts the team more than his actual ability, if that makes sense. And since I'm here, I'll explain it to you. He is a really good player. He's a four-time All-Star. He's a star player. He's not a mega-star player. He's not Durant, but he's really, really, really good. So, but the impact that he has on the team magnifies his abilities. It magnifies everybody else's abilities. It's like if you were to put a player in a video game and he automatically leveled up everybody, like put their 2K ratings up 2 or 3 points. He just has that impact because of the position that he plays, his height, his skill set. It makes Isaiah Thomas better. It makes Jay Crowder better. It makes Avery Bradley better. So he'll just open things up. He's just better at that pick and roll, pick and pop. He can do a lot of things. And we saw last night that he's just much more competent and his ability level is much higher at that position. And it's a crucial position in this offense. So his impact on this team, I'm expecting it to be really amazing. His numbers won't take a huge spike, but it's just what he does for the rest of the team that I think is going to be the biggest impact.
John, I feel like you guys and really everyone that follows this team that's been following this summer and into the preseason really likes what they've seen out of Jaylen Brown so far. And I think really the most impressive thing is his ferocity, right? His sort of his ability to not be denied, his toughness and his sort of gumption that he brings to this club. And I think people probably expected that at least to some degree, but it does have the feel that, you know, we'll see what Jaylen is as a player, but everything seems to be there for a guy to realize his potential. Because, again, all this intangible stuff, and especially in this league where so many guys are talented and so few live up to that talent, this is a kid that really seems like everything points in direction. This is a kid that is going to live up to his talent.
I think he has a definite strong potential to live up to his talent. I look at this as a sculptor looking at a piece of wood and just nodding and enjoying the fact that he's going to get a chance to work with such a fine piece of wood. That's what Brad Stevens is looking at with Jaylen Brown. He's got all of the tools. It's all right there. He's fast. He can jump through the roof. He's big. He's got a big wingspan. Super athletic. He's got everything that you want in a player in that position. He can play the three. He can play the four. Eventually, he just needs to oversimplify it, learn how to play NBA basketball. That's the next step. He needs to really touch up a lot of his flaws. He needs to learn how to shoot consistently. Every once in a while, you see a nice soft floater, and then sometimes you see a jumper that just doesn't look great at all. He's got to learn the proper balance, the proper footwork, how to take advantage of defenders, but he's got all of the raw tools. And you saw last night when he is in a favorable matchup, when he's got a guy that's just not able to defend him, that can fall for some of the fakes, he will take full advantage of that, and that will include trying to rip the rim off of the backboard.
Marcus Smart, you know, certainly he can be a polarizing player for fans. You know, I certainly am a fan of his, and when he is on point, he is certainly on point. And obviously, you'd like to see the shooting get better defensively. You know, I think Brad, has been working very, very hard with him. I mean, again, you're talking about another warrior-like player. We saw it in college, certainly, in the first couple of years. Unfortunately, a little bit of inconsistency, I think, in that regard, and then, of course, with some of the injuries, too. But, you know, here he comes, you know, another year here where, you know, we're not really going to be calling him young anymore here, John. It's really, I think it's time for the next step. And do you expect that next step to come from Marcus?
I think this is going to be a pretty good year for him. I mean, first of all, that intensity at the end of the game last night, a meaningless first preseason game against the 76ers, and he's celebrating a Sixers turnover like it was the NBA final. So a little bit of intensity. I would like to see him dial it back a little bit in preseason. Just chill out, Marcus. Relax. Right. But, you know, that's who he is. And there's part of me who just loves that that's who he is and how that's how he's always going to be. And I guess you just got to ride that fire. But he's made a tweak to his jumper where he's not trying to not bring the ball down as much. That'll shorten up the distance that his arm has to travel and maybe take some of the kinks out of that. So if he can get his shooting to at least be average, I'm not looking for him to be Steph Curry or anything like that, but if he can just get to league average, then that'll be a tremendous boost for the Celtics, because then you can count on him to be a threat. He has to be defended if that's the case. You can't sag off of him from three. And if you have to defend Marcus Smart at the three-point line, that's just another guy that would stretch the floor. So if he can do that, and he's trying to do that, that'll be huge. Defensively, we all know what he is defensively. I mean, that guy will guard anybody on the floor. And today, Brad Stevens called him basically a sixth starter. So he's going to play starter minutes, which means he's going to get a lot of time maybe handling the ball at the point, at the shooting guard, at the three in the small lineup. And every once in a while, he'll get that Paul Millsap defensive assignment where he has to go out there and guard a big guy just to screw with their head, because that's what he does. So Marcus Smart is a hugely important guy to this team. If he can take a step forward, then really that's just a tremendous development. If he can't, then that puts a little bit of a pressure on the team to figure out other ways to score when he's on the floor.
John, I meant to tell you that my partner Chris here is the play-by-play guy for the Red Claws. So, we're back together after Chris went off and did some other stuff for a couple of years. But he's always been the play-by-play guy for the Red Claws, and we're working together again on this show, which has been awesome. And along those lines, Terry Rozier played well last night. I know you've kind of liked him all the way through. We've seen a lot of him down here, and obviously Chris has seen every game he's played here in Portland. What do you, like you said on your website, you thought he looked in control last night, and you've liked him when we talked in the past. What about his prospects? Do you think this is a kid that can stick on the Celtics all year this year?
Let me tell you something. There are two guys in camp so far. It's only a week old, but there are two guys who are getting the most buzz. Marcus Smart is one, and Terry Rozier is the other. Terry Rozier is getting the most. They love what Rozier is showing. Now, last night was a little bit, I think he might have been a little bit nervous. Maybe he's trying to do a little too much. He missed some plays. He missed a couple of assignments. He read a couple of things wrong. But then he got himself into a little bit more control. He got back into just playing basketball, and he showed what he can do. He really can be good in the pick and roll. And they've said that he's probably going to be their backup point guard. He's going to get Evan Turner's minutes for the most part. So that's huge for a second-year guy to already establish himself. The GM said it, and the coach is saying it. So I think that really that's an amazing step forward. You really don't see a lot of that from a guy drafted where he was lower in the first round to go from sparsely used to full-on backup point guard. That's an important position.
Right.
That's not nothing. He's not just like Jaylen Brown is a guy that can go out there. You say, go just be Jaylen Brown, be athletic, dunk on a few guys, defend. We're cool with that. When you're running an offense, especially this offense, especially with guys that are on this team that are all stars, that's a tall order, and they seem to be trusting him. So I will put my faith in the team that what they're seeing in camp so far is legit, and considering what I've seen in the summer league and a little bit last night, he has an opportunity to make a huge step forward, and he's only, 22? Like, this kid is it's so much potential, and from a draft pick that most people thought was a miss already a year ago. So he's got the potential. Now, he may not realize that potential. I'm being very positive now, but they love him. And so that says a lot.
Well, John, let me go to the flip side of guys that we've had up here in Maine, and that's James Young over the last couple of years. Came in at just 19 years old, and again, just 20 years old last year. Obviously, we knew he was a prolific scorer, at Kentucky, and he came in a very good shooter. And unfortunately, the MO is going to be the defense. It's going to be hustle. It's going to be, lackadaisical play, especially with passing. And, I think it's always a test for a coach, for a coach to see a guy come up here and see if they stay up. And Terry Rozier, I agree 100%. When he was always up here, you saw that maximum effort. And I can't say that about James Young. As good as the guy is to talk to off the court, you wish that effort could be there, and you wish that defensive intensity could be there. I imagine he might be fighting for a roster spot this year.
Oh, absolutely. He's fighting for that last spot, and with a bunch of guys. Look, the Celtics are carrying 20 guys into training camp. The maximum you can keep is 15. So there's a lot of guys on this team right now that will not be wearing green in a couple of weeks, and Young is one of them. Now, last night, he played a little bit better. He's shown that he's put on a couple of pounds, put on a little bit of muscle. He's maybe a little bit calmer. Maybe the fact that he turned 21 and he can finally grab a beer and relax, maybe that's doing something for him. I have no idea. But he's done something that at least for a game, and look, when the bar is that low, you're searching for anything, and at least last night he did a couple of nice things. But first preseason game against the Sixers, not just the Sixers, the Sixers scrubs, and they lost against the Sixers scrubs. So we'll see. He has an opportunity to fight for that last spot, which means you may end up seeing him in Maine again. Actually, you might not be able to because it's his third year. So who knows with him? I think I've been saying he better get the Rosetta Stone, you know, Mandarin, Cantonese, whatever, brush up. I saw the Shanghai Sharks play the other day.
There
they
you
need
go.
Some help.
The Tel Aviv Flash on his way. Hey, John, really appreciate you coming on. Looking forward to talking to you all year. Should be a fun year here for the Seas. Check out the Locked On Celtics podcast. Also, check out at Reds Army or at RedsArmy.com. John is at RedsArmy_John. Always appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
all right,
John.
Take care, bud.